Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Another edition of Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. We're so excited that you're with us tonight on this glorious day here in South Florida. If you're listening on 95.9 and driving up 95 or the Turnpike in the Palm Beaches, we couldn't be happier that you're listening to us. And, of course, if you're on 106.9 on the Treasure Coast, we're thrilled that you decided to join us as well. For those of you who just found us, we talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. Although tonight we're going to be talking about something a little bit different, a kind of a little change from the normal. And we're here every Monday night, of course, from 6 to 7 o'clock right here. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. So, audience, are you up for a challenge tonight? Would you like to make a difference? Do you know a child in significantly different difficult circumstances that might need some help? What am I teasing about here? I'm talking about the Guardian Ad Litem program, which we're going to learn all about with my special guest tonight, Beth Ziegler from the Guardian Ad Litem program. Guardian Ad Litem is a program that is near and dear to my heart. It's not something I've ever done myself, but it's something I feel strongly about. For kids in need, I've had a lot of my friends, people I'm actually having dinner with tomorrow night. A good friend of mine is a guardian ad litem. It's something that really makes a difference in our society, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Beth in a minute. But first, a little bit later in the show, we're going to be talking to Beth Ziegler for the whole night, but we're going to take a brief pause because we're going to talk about a special event which was just announced. Dr. Karen Gilbert's going to call in for a couple of minutes later, and she's going to be talking about a special webinar that they're doing, which is called A Novel Approach to Every Stage of Alzheimer's. It's on Thursday, May 27th from 1 to 3 p.m., and it's really, really interesting. She's going to have some special guests. I'm going to let her tell you about that in a little bit. I also want to talk about vaccines. If you're one of the people who is waiting, what are you waiting for? Get your vaccine, okay? It's going to free you up to do all the things that you want to do, all right? Because so many people are getting vaccinated and because we're starting to see caseload go down and hospitalizations go down and thankfully deaths go down, we're beginning to loosen up today. Just today, there was a big announcement by Governor DeSantis about lightening up on some of the restrictions. If you want to go back truly to normal, go get vaccinated, please. And as it relates to masks, I know there's some confusion about what you should or should not do, can and cannot do. Do what you feel is comfortable for you, whatever you are, and don't embarrass people who think differently than you do. Just go out there, enjoy life. Life's too short to get upset about things like that. Take care of yourself, take care of others. But enough about that. Let me get to my guest. We're going to talk to Beth Ziegler tonight. Beth, who has been married for 23 years and has three children and is still smiling. Go figure that out. All right. She lives right here in Palm Beach County. She went to school at the University of Delaware and got her master's in rehabilitation counseling at Florida State University. She worked for HRS and then was a domestic violence probation officer for 5 years. Then she became a preschool teacher. She went back to work full-time almost 7 years ago at the Guardian Ad Litem program as a child advocate manager. She started working as a volunteer recruiter for the Guardian Ad Litem program in May of 2020, and she drew the short straw and had to come here tonight and do the show because I asked her to. November will be 7 years that she's with the Guardian Ad Litem program. Beth, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start at the top. I think not everybody knows what the Guardian Ad Litem program is. So what is Guardian Ad Litem?
Guardian Ad Litem program is a state-funded program that we are appointed in court, in dependency court hearings for children to speak up for their best interest in court. Children that have been abused, neglected, or abandoned at shelter, the judge appoints us to their case.
And I think one of the things that people confuse Guardian Ad Litem is strictly for children,
correct?
Right. So people are often confused about that. You say you're state funded. Is that an ongoing program? Do you fight for your? I mean, because I know the state legislature just ended their session this Friday. Do you fight for money every year, or is funding an issue for the government?
Funding does become an issue, and yes, they do. We had Director Alan Abramowitz was up there and spoke before the Senate and the House, as well as many volunteers, judges went up there, and not much has changed to our program. I mean, we've been in existence a number of years. The national organization is called CASA, and each state is whether it's CASA or the Guardian Ad Litem Program, and in the state of Florida, we're the Guardian Ad Litem Program.
You know, I didn't realize it was CASA. Now that you say that, I'm going to go back almost 30 years, and I went to a CASA fundraiser in New York City about 30 years ago, and it was a black tie affair. It was that's really interesting. I learned something already tonight. But guardians in the Guardian Ad Litem or Guardian Ad Litems, they're all volunteer, right?
Yes.
Right. So how does one become a volunteer? Well, first of all, help us understand, what do they do? What does a guardian ad litem do?
Guardian ad litem advocates for what the children needs, advocates in court for their best interest, advocates for all aspects of the child's life. We're an impartial party. We're not for mom, we're not for dad, we're not for the grandparents, we're not for the foster parents. We are strictly for that child. We advocate, we go to school meetings, we go to IEP meetings, we go to staffings, we speak with the children's therapists. We observe parental visits to make sure, you know, if everything is going, we want to advocate for the child to go home to his parents. We can't advocate for the child to go home with his parents if we haven't seen the child with his parents or her parents. So we also reach out to the parents. We testify in court for what we've observed and all the information that we've gathered and testify in court and write court reports to the judge on what our recommendations are for that child.
So, I guess I'm a little confused, and if I'm confused, maybe my audience might be as well. You're appointed by a judge to take care of or to advocate on behalf of the child who needs a guardian ad litem, and yet what you just described, you talked about the mother, the father, the grandparents, the maybe foster parents. If all of those people are in place, why would a kid need a guardian ad litem? Where's the disconnect for me?
Because we speak up for best interest only. We're the eyes and the ears. We only speak up for a child's best interest. The mom or dad want one thing. You know, foster parents, grandparents may want another thing. We are an impartial party and only go in and speak up for best interest.
So how would a kid find himself in the circumstances that he would need? How does he end up in front of a judge? Without giving away state secrets, how do kids even end up in the program if there is a network of people that support them?
Well, in the state of Florida, everybody is a mandatory reporter. So if anybody's, the new thing is see something, say something. But in the state of Florida, every adult is a mandatory reporter if they see or believe that a child is being abused or neglected, emotional abuse, physical abuse, that number is 1-800-96-ABUSE. And then they report it to Tallahassee, and it trickles down to wherever that child lives, and a child protective investigator goes out and investigates whether that child's being abused or not. If they feel it warrants it, that child will be removed from his or her parents or the situation they're in. They might not even be with a parent. They may be with a relative. At that next step is a shelter hearing, and that's when the judge appoints us to speak up in court for their best interest.
So is that contentious typically, is that something that's typically welcomed by all of the parties involved? I have reason for asking the question because I'm curious as to, because we're going to talk about how you can volunteer as the show unfolds. We're going to tell people why they should get involved, how they should get involved, why it's important, the fact that you need this. But it's understandable. Some people don't want to get in the middle of a really dangerous or serious situation. So help people feel better about that.
It is. I do not believe it's a dangerous situation. Obviously, if the children are not safe to go to the home, you don't want to go to the home. If you feel that you've been working with this family for so long, you know the parents, you know the relatives, you know the foster parents. If you feel it's safe for the child to go home, then it's safe for you to go to that home as well. Right. In the beginning, the parents are more scared than anything. Their child was just taken away. So they might be highly emotional because they're just scared. But when the guardian ad litem or the volunteer reaches out to them, they might be screaming out first. But then they're realizing the guardian ad litem is listening to them. So by the end of the conversation, the parents are talking to them. And we might say we don't know the answer, but we'll call them back with the answer. And we might not know it the next day either, but we'll call them. So they know that we're a responsible party that's going to get back to them and not leave them hanging.
So when you're appointed, is that in crisis or has the crisis already been somewhat avoided because DCF, which I'm assuming is who answers on the 1-800-96 abuse, I repeated that for you all out there, are these crisis situations or are these now the point at where we're trying to just improve the quality of life for the do you call them wards? You don't call them
no.
wards, right? Okay.
Children,
okay.
It depends. I mean, once the children are removed, they're now placed in a safe place. So now we're appointed. So we're going to visit them in this safe place. Through the case, once the parents, it doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
So parents are given case plans. And in the state of Florida, parents have 12 months in order to work on their case plan. So they might give them, if it's a substance abuse case, they might come to an agreement with our program, the parents' attorneys, and DCFs. We might come to an agreement where the parents have to have a substance abuse evaluation and random urinalysis. So once the parents do that and follow the recommendations, then, it might be time to reunify the child because the parents have been clean and they've been going to their program. If it's domestic violence, it might be a batterer intervention program or individual counseling. If it's mental health issues, it might be a psychiatric evaluation, psychological evaluation. It depends on what the case was brought in for to try to individualize it a little bit with the case plan in order for the parents to work on getting their children back.
So can anyone be a volunteer then to become a guardian ad litem? It seems like a very important work. Can anyone in my audience volunteer? Which we hope, of course, they will do.
Yeah, we do hope you guys will come out. But yes, basically the only requirement of age is you have to be over 21. You don't have to have a special degree. You just need to have a big heart. You need to be empathetic. The children and the families are going through a lot. And you just need to have a big heart to be there for that child.
When you say you work with the judges and the courts, that can be intimidating to some. Do you need a legal background? Do you need a business background? Do you need do some people do better in this program than other people?
No, you don't need any sort of background. We do a lot of training. In the initial, before you even get a case, you're going to have over 30 hours of training. Because of COVID, we're not meeting in person, but we have a website, I Am for the Child Academy, and all our pre-service trainings are on that website, plus additional as well. Because of COVID, we have two mandatory trainings above of what we used to do. One is on suicide and one's on head trauma due to some of the things that have been happening around.
So has COVID made the situation worse? Are you seeing more kids because of COVID? I know there's a lot of concern, particularly out of the public schools, which used to be the kind of the first and or last line of defense for kids who were struggling with something going on outside the home. Has COVID exacerbated the need, or has it hid the need? Or
I don't know if we're really going to find that answer out until we really go back in and all the kids start attending school again. We are still getting shelter. Children are still being sheltered. There is still a lot of kids coming into the system, but is there as many as before? I'm not sure, more so in the rural counties as opposed to Palm Beach, because a lot of people are in the neighbors and people do go out and see things. Palm Beach County has had quite a few. But I don't know regarding exact numbers. And I know, like with rural counties, if homes are more separated, I think those counties probably have less kids being sheltered than here in Palm Beach County, because I think people see a lot more.
I'm just curious. You may not know the answer to this, which is okay. How many kids are in the guardian ad litem program? Do you know?
Roughly about 1,300 children.
Wow.
In Palm Beach County.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yes.
And what are the age ranges?
Anywhere from birth, a day or two old, if the children are born with substance abuse in them, or if something, maybe possibly domestic violence that caused the mom into premature labor. So from birth up until they're 18 years old.
So you've said domestic abuse a couple of times. I'm going to assume sometimes it does involve abuse against the child, but sometimes it might have nothing to do with the child except they're inadvertently victimized by the fact that there's domestic abuse within the household.
Correct.
Is that accurate?
Yeah. Even if they view it, their home, they can hear it, you know, mom or dad screaming from the other end. So, yes, if the children are there, yes. Even if they're out of the home, but domestic violence is happening in there, they come home and see mom or dad with a black eye, it's still abuse.
Yeah, I imagine you see a lot of really challenging things. But 13, so if a volunteer has interest in volunteering, I want to drill down more on the training program, and I want to ask about how many kids and all of the rest of those things. But so COVID. Again, I have so much on my head. COVID has changed the program in terms of you don't go to court very often anymore, right?
No. I actually had three court hearings. I had two court hearings today. On Friday, I had three court hearings. I had two adoptions last week, and everything is virtual.
Wow.
So we're all on Zoom. Each judge has their, it's called a static Zoom link. So that is their go-to link that we know that their hearings are then. For adoptions, those are closed hearings. So those are separate links, not the everyday Zoom link that we get to go before a judge.
So what would a guardian ad litem have to do with adoptions?
If the parents' rights have been terminated, the children are free for adoption.
Wow.
So
does that happen often?
Or the parents are deceased. Uh-huh. Does it happen often? No. Our main goal is reunification.
Reunification
with the parents, but it does happen.
Well, it's really fascinating. If you're just tuning in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Doing a little bit different tonight, we're talking about the guardian ad litem program. And we're talking about it because, one, you may know some children or may be witnessing some children who are in the need of protective services. And we're going to talk about, we already have, but we're going to talk about it again, how you can report the need for that. But the guardian ad litem program also needs volunteers, and we're going to tell you how you can do that as well. We have a whole lot more to talk about with my guest, Beth Ziegler, who is the child abuse, child advocate manager at the guardian ad litem program. It's wonderful work. It's really important work. It's really critically important work for children. And trust me, I know a couple of guardian ad litems, and it makes them feel good. They know that they're doing wonderful things for the people that they're helping. So we're going to talk more to Beth in just a minute. But if you have questions for Beth or for myself, you can call us at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with health care challenges.
As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
Hi, I'm Laura Oliveris, the president of Silver Solutions, the senior-focused home services company. Unfortunately, COVID-19 continues to be a reality for too many of us. But thankfully, every day, more and more of our older adults are getting protected by the vaccine. At Silver Solutions, we pride ourselves on protecting older adults as well. From safety improvements to downsizing to emptying the home after the loss of your loved one, Silver Solutions is here to help you move forward with ease and confidence. To find out more, call us today at 877-AGE-SAFE. That's 877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online at silversolutions.com. Our team is bonded, insured, and follows rigorous CDC guidelines, including the full use of PPE. Life can bring the unexpected, but when it comes to making growing older safer and less stressful, you can count on us, Silver Solutions.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're thrilled that you're with us tonight. I'm talking with Beth Ziegler from the Guardian Ad Litem program, but I also have a very special guest on the phone tonight who has some exciting news to share. Karen Gilbert is here. She's from the Alzheimer's Community Care. She is not from the Alzheimer's. She is from Alzheimer's Community Care. Karen, how are you tonight?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so glad that you had the chance to call in. So I teased a little bit about this great announcement that you just came up with last week, but I'm going to give you a chance. Tell us all about this wonderful program that you're going to be doing in May. I think it's exciting, and I think the audience needs to hear this because they can participate, can't they?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. This year we are doing a virtual conference of 2 hours on Thursday, May 27th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And, you know, of course, we're still in a pandemic period, so we have had to delay our full-day in-person conference until May of 2022. But in the interim, we're looking so forward to presenting this program. It's going to be called Novel Approaches for Every Stage of Alzheimer's. The program will begin with remarks by Senator Gail Harrell and Secretary Richard Prudhomme of the Florida Department of Elder Affairs. And they'll be talking about the efforts of Alzheimer's Community Care and those at the state level to help and support our patients and caregivers. I will then be talking about our advocacy efforts in providing specialized care and services, and also the efforts that we have extended in policy at the state level. There's been some significant changes, and they're important for our families. And then in the second hour, Dr. James Galvin, who has been on your show before, he's an internationally known expert on Alzheimer's disease and Lewy body disease and Parkinson's. He will present about the importance of formal diagnosis and disease staging and personalized approaches. He will talk about strategies for primary, secondary, and tertiary prevention, and also concepts for healthy cognitive aging and what can be done for mild cognitive impairment, as well as for moderate and severe dementia. So it's really a two-hour message of hope, capitalizing on what can be done. We know what we can't do. We don't have a cure. We don't have a treatment that changes the disease in any substantial way, but there is much that we can do, and in those 2 hours, that's what we'll be talking about.
And in case somebody wants to register, how can they go about doing that, and how much is it going to cost a family caregiver?
It is free.
We love that word, don't
no
we?
Cost. No cost to caregivers. Or anyone that's wishing to attend, even if they're not currently actively caregiving, we are offering 2 hours of continuing education for healthcare professionals. So there is a $10 fee if they want to earn those credits. But for everyone else, it's totally free. And all they need to do is visit our website, which is www.allscare.org, ALZCARE.org. We have an events tab on the home page, and when you click on it, you will see May 27th. Click here to register, and it's just that simple. It just takes a few moments.
And I just, for the audience, I want to tell you that I can't imagine two better hours to learn about Alzheimer's disease and the novel approaches to every stage from the information you can learn from Dr. Karen Gilbert, who is here telling us all about this, and Dr. James Galvin. I know them both exceedingly well. Dr. Galvin is an expert in subject matter and very, very engaging. And, of course, Karen is one of my favorite people in the space. And so I can't thank you enough for taking the time to call in tonight and tell us all about this. And I will be promoting this from now until May 27th when this kicks off. Right?
So thank you so much. And we still look ahead to next May when you will be one of our presenters.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
For our in-person conference, yes.
Thank you so much. Give my best to everybody and great luck. And I will continue to help promote this. And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Karen.
And it's appreciated greatly. Take care. Thank you.
Good night. Good night. That was Karen Gilbert from Alzheimer's Community Care telling about her special event, or Alzheimer's Community Care special event, Novel Approaches to Every Stage of Alzheimer's, on May 27th. I am here with Beth Ziegler from the Guardian Ad Litem program, and I have so much more to ask her. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking about the Guardian Ad Litem program, which focuses on children, which is the opposite end of the spectrum from what we usually talk about. But it's a really important subject, and what Guardian Ad Litem program does is critical to the well-being of children in need. There's a whole host more for us to talk about. How you can volunteer is going to be really important, and we hope that before the night is over, when I tell you who you can call and how you can reach my guest, that you will, in fact, take a few minutes, think about how you can make a difference. If there's one thing we learned about during COVID, all right, we need to stay engaged, we need to stay active, We can't be isolated. We don't want to suffer from just looking at the four walls. No better thing can you do than to help a child in need, and the Guardian Ad Litem program does that. So if you have questions for my guest, Beth Ziegler, or for me about the Guardian Ad Litem program, call us at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were station might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're thrilled that you're with us tonight. If you're a new listener, this is Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. Here every Monday night from 6 to 7 talking about issues that confront boomers and their parents. If you are a regular listener, thank you for coming back regularly. That's what makes the show so good. I'm here tonight with Beth Ziegler. Beth is the child advocate manager for the Guardian Ad Litem program, and we've been talking about the Guardian Ad Litem program. I want to kind of shift gears a little bit, Beth, and talk about the volunteers themselves. So anyone can be a volunteer, you said. You talked a little bit about the 30-hour training. You talked about the need, 1,300 kids in the county. Do Guardian Ad Litems work with one kid, with 10 kids? How does that work?
It depends. Okay. We go on our side of things. We go by the mother. So if mom has five kids, then the volunteer is on those five children. Usually when we start off, we do not overwhelm a new volunteer. We've had some volunteers that are with us over 10 years, so they know the complexities and they might be able to handle some of the bigger cases. I had a case with 10 children. We actually had a married couple on that case. It depends on what the mom has, basically. Right. But usually if you're a new volunteer, we only start you off with a case that has 1 to 3 children, because we do not want to overwhelm you. But you do have to have the time commitment, because the state of Florida does give parents a year to work on their case. And the Guardian Ad Litem program prides themselves on that volunteer being with that child or children through the length of their case. So in the state of Florida also, when the children are reunified with their parents, we still stay on the case for a minimum of 6 months. So right off the bat, it's a year and a half. So usually the time commitment is about 2 years. because we do pride ourselves, like I said, again, for that volunteering, staying with that child. Case management on DCF, ChildNet side, they have a lot of turnover. And we do not regarding our volunteers. But you do also have to be over 21 and pass a level 2 background screen because you are dealing with children. We pay for the background screen, the guardian ad litem program, but you have to pass, obviously, a level 2 background screen.
And so a 2-year commitment is start to finish on a particular case. But on an average weekly basis, what is the time commitment if somebody has a limited time in their schedule or has all the time in the world? What does a typical week look like for a volunteer?
It depends. I can give you examples of what a volunteer does, but we usually ask between 10 and 20 hours a month. If you go out and you see little Billy squinting the whole time, you might ask his caregiver, has Billy been to the eye doctor? And she might say no. Well, then you're going to call up case management and make sure he's being seen by an eye doctor because you believe that little Billy may need glasses. If you go out to see a child who's 3 years old and is not verbal, then you want to make sure he's getting an early steps evaluation and find out what's really going on. So you might have to call case management again because you want that referral made. You might call a teacher to make sure that Billy's doing well in school. Teacher might email you back saying, no, here's his progress report. He's not doing well in science. Then you're going to be on the phone again to case management saying, can you please put a referral in for tutoring services? And you're going to want to call up that tutoring agency in 3 to 4 weeks' time to make sure Billy's getting what they need from the tutoring agency. So there's a lot of follow-up. And like I had mentioned before, parent visits. We observe parent visits. We do not supervise any parent visits. So there's always going to be another adult in the room to tell mom or dad if they're acting inappropriately. But we observe the parent visits. So we're going to make our observation. Is mom and dad on the phone the whole time? Or are they interacting with Billy? Are they reading a book? Are they helping him with his homework? And these are observations we make. So that way, when we make our recommendation to the court, we spoke with the tutoring agency. We spoke with the child's therapist. We spoke with the parents. We've observed the parents. So these are all things that we do.
So that's all fascinating to me. Now, as you'd explain that, I mean, it's all very interesting. If I wanted to be a guardian ad litem, one of the things I would ask myself is, I don't even know where to go for all of those things. So that's where you all come in, right? That's where the organization. So you're not, if you volunteer, you're not left. You're not appointed a kid and left out there on your own.
No. We're a very big team approach. You'll have a child advocate manager like myself, and you'll have also a guardian ad litem attorney, a best interest attorney. So we work as a team. Everything we do is a team. Even if a child wants to travel out of state, it is the team that decides whether, you know, we are okay with the child traveling out of state. So the volunteer is never hung out to dry. Always is a big time we work as a team approach.
And does the guardian ad litem report back to case management or to your role? Is that the process? Because the guardian ad litems that I know, I know them to be very efficient and competent and very caring. I mean, they're my friends, so they care about me. or maybe they don't. Maybe it's my wife. But anyway, if in their reporting you see something that they should be doing that they shouldn't be doing, you would reach out to them as well.
Absolutely.
Right?
I mean, I email, I text, phone calls, everything with our volunteers. A very good relationship, and we're paperless, so everything is on an electronic file. And our guardian ad litem attorney, the child advocate manager, and the volunteer all have access to that electronic file 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So everybody can see everybody's information. So that way, if I'm reading something and I'm like, oh, I have a question, I will call up that volunteer immediately and we'll discuss it.
So, and it seems like 10 to 20 hours a month is not a major commitment. I have to think guardians get pretty close to their to the kids that they're taking care of, I think, on the most part, right? I
mean, absolutely.
So is separation hard?
It depends.
When it's settled?
It depends on your relationship. I know one of my volunteers, she used to take her child canoeing, you know, up to a state park in Jupiter. Actually, that same volunteer, when her case closed, mom reached out to her and says, I have an IEP meeting. Can you be my support? Can you come with me? Even though her case is closed. So, yes, we have all these things. I have a child who's in college. She aged out of the system, and she's at college, and I still speak with her by text. So, yes, we do form those relationships, but we don't want to also overstep our bounds. So if they are home with mom and dad don't wish us to be involved anymore, then we step back.
It's fascinating. If you're just tuning in, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here tonight with Beth Ziegler, who is the child advocate manager at the Guardian Ad Litem program. Guardian Ad Litem is so important. I can't stress enough how much need there is for people just like you to get involved. And we're going to tell you how you can do that as soon as we come back. In the meantime, if you have questions for my guest, Beth Ziegler, you can call us at 877-960-9960. It's 877-960-9960.
Hi, I'm Dan Lagani, the CEO of Silver Solutions, the senior-focused company that works like a family for all of your mom and dad's home-related needs as they age, from keeping them safely in their current home to managing a downsizing or relocation to assisted living to emptying a home and distributing the family's treasures after the loss of a loved one. Silver Solutions is there to help families move forward with ease and confidence. If you're worried about your aging parents' safety at home, or you're an older adult concerned about losing your independence, give us a call today at 1-877-8 Safe. That's 1-877-AGESAFE. Or visit us online at silversolutions.com for a free consultation. We're bonded, insured, and follow rigorous CDC guidelines on all jobs, including the use of full PPE. You can't stop the aging process, but with Silver Solutions, you can make growing older safer and less stressful for the whole family.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. ElderCare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with health care challenges.
As a patient advocate, ElderCare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make ElderCare 360 part of your team. ElderCare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're thrilled that you're with us tonight on this glorious day in South Florida. Beth Ziegler is my guest from the Guardian Ad Litem Program, and we've been talking about how important the work that the Guardian Ad Litem Program does, and Beth has been telling us all about that. Beth, if we've piqued some people's interest and they have a desire to learn more about volunteering, how might they do that?
They can reach out to our website, galpbc.org, or they can call me, 561-657-7462.
Repeat that.
561-657-7462.
And the website one more time?
Is galpbc.org, galpbc.org.
So if somebody has interest in volunteering, what's the process like? They call, they express interest. And so what is the process like, and what, I know you said there's 30 hours, but what are you trained on?
We start off, once they say that they would like to become a volunteer, they have to fill out an online application, and then they have to fill out a questionnaire as well. And we do a Zoom interview, because everything's virtual pretty much these days. So we do a virtual interview, and then there's 30 hours of training, and that's all online. And then after that training, we do 2 days of review with our circuit director, Michelle Kennedy, and our program director, Liz Liebert, for 3 hours. So every month we have 2 days that they review all the training. So that way, if the volunteers have questions regarding what they've done online, they can have their questions answered through our 2 review sessions.
Is there a particular skill set? I understand that you don't need to be a lawyer or a doctor or a baker, that anybody can do this. I know you've talked about a big heart. I assume that sometimes this can be pretty emotional. Is there a skill set that you look for in bringing on volunteers?
Just that you want to help a child. You want to be there for a child.
Right. And can you, if you're a volunteer, can you request male, female, young, old? Can you pinpoint where your interest lies, or is
Absolutely.
That not typical?
If you feel more comfortable working with someone, a child that can speak, so you might ask for a child over the age of 5. You know, if you feel that you'd rather do toddler preschool, then you would ask for a toddler. The only thing is that when you're assigned to a child or family, you follow them. So let's say you live up in Jupiter and your child is in a foster home in Jupiter, but the parents may live in West Palm Beach or Riviera Beach or Lake Worth or Boca. Or if that foster home breaks down in Jupiter and they move to Boca, to another foster home in Boca or Delray, you would still go visit that child where that child's at until right. that child eventually goes home, and then you'd visit that child there.
And this is, I want to reiterate, strictly a volunteer program.
Correct.
Right. And this is not a big brother, big sister type of commitment. This is not kind of just a mentoring program. This is much more significant. Am I correct about that?
Yes. We advocate in court for these children's best interests. So, yes, we can do some mentoring and going to bowling with them and being with them. However, it is more substantial than a mentoring program, because we actually refer our children for mentors. So we do have mentoring programs that we can refer our children too through ChildNet, but we don't mentor them ourselves. We make sure that they have the mentor if they need them.
So if somebody sees this as a mentoring program, this probably isn't for them. So just so that everybody understands who's tuning in, this is somewhere where you can have legitimate interest in helping a kid who otherwise has nobody to advocate for them.
Absolutely. Right? So
this is more advocacy than it is, let's go out and go bowling.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, no, we're advocating in all aspects. Some of our volunteers even become an educational surrogate. So basically they're signing off on the children's IEP 504 plans, going to the parent-teacher conferences and signing off on that. If the children do not have a parent that is capable or able to do those things, our volunteers actually become their educational surrogates.
And before the show, you told me something I had never heard. I didn't know anything about that. I guess in the divorce process, in some divorce proceedings, there are guardian ad litems, but are not like guardian ad litems. They're different. Can you explain that for people who think, who maybe have this confused?
To the best of my knowledge, when your parents are going through divorce, they might have to pay for a guardian ad litem that's a private that would speak up in court for the divorce proceedings on what that child may need from each parent in a divorce. We are not that guardian ad litem program. We are a guardian ad litem that only speaks up in court for dependency court hearings. That means that child has been abused, neglected, physically abused, emotionally abused, medically neglected, or just abandoned by their parent. So we speak up only in dependency court hearings, not divorce proceedings.
To me, it's really fascinating, and the need is great. And we're going to tell you again how you can step up and volunteer in just a minute. But if you just tuned in, and you're sorry you didn't tune in sooner, you didn't really miss much, because not that it wasn't a great show, it was an excellent show. We've been talking about this, it's a lot, but you can still listen. Yes, you can, because we podcast. Tomorrow, we'll be up and running right on OMG I'm Getting. We will put it up on the podcast platforms around noon tomorrow, so there's no need for you to have missed any part of this. If podcasting, however, is not your thing, you still can listen to the whole show, because we'll put it up on our website, palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Palmbeach.comfortcare, palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Don't put a T in there. You're going to want to put a T in there. Spell check's going to do it for you. Take it back out. Comfort Care, one word, comfortcare. Of course, there is no excuse for you ever tuning in late, because you can find us wherever you are on your smartphone just by downloading the iHeartRadio app and then searching for True Oldies in Palm Beaches every Monday night at 6 o'clock, because we're on the iHeartRadio app. And, of course, we simulcast. Yes, we do. TrueOldiesFLA.com. That's TrueOldiesFLA.com. We simulcast every Monday, 6 to 7. Next week, we have a really interesting show. Damon Thomas is going to be here. He's the executive director of a new building that's not yet open in Delray Beach, but is about to open. Inspired Senior Living is opening in Delray, and they're kind of a unique assisted living and memory care community, because they're going to specialize in some chronic disease, which is really unique. Not everybody does that in the assisted living world, and they're building a program around chronic disease, particularly with an emphasis on Parkinson's disease. I spoke with Damon last week in anticipation of the show. He's very excited. He's got a lot of wonderful ideas, things I had never heard of before in senior living. So that's a show you're not going to want to miss. In 2 weeks, I'm going to have a really, truly special guest. Tina Pulsky is going to be here. Tina is the state senator in Florida. This is her first term as a state senator. She's really remarkable. I've known Tina for about 10 years. And she started out in the House and then moved into the Senate. She's going to tell us everything there is that we should know about what really happened in the Florida State Legislature. Most people don't know that the Florida State Legislature, which just approved over a $100 billion budget, only meets 60 days a year in the state of Florida. They don't meet all year round. So she's going to tell us about some of the laws that were passed, some of the things you understand. Some of them you may or may not appreciate. Some of them you may not have heard of. But the legislature this year was very, very active. And Tina, while having been called back for a special session, she and I will tape the show in advance, and we're going to talk about what occurred during this year's legislative session. So very excited about Tina coming on here. I also want to remind everybody, please, please get vaccinated, all right? I don't know what you're waiting for. There's only about 100 million people that have been vaccinated. Nobody's grown six fingers or extra toes. It's okay. If you want to get back to normal life, vaccination is the key. However, I am still here with my guest, Beth Ziegler. We're talking about the Guardian Ad Litem program. Beth, how do people, if they're interested in volunteering, how do they go about doing that? Who should they call?
They can call me, Beth Ziegler, at 561-657-7462. Or they can go to our website, galpbc.org, GALPBC.org.
And give the phone number one more time in case they didn't write it fast enough.
561-657-7462.
You know, one of the things that always comes up when I talk about the Guardian Ad Litem program, and I have done two or three shows over the last 10 years on this program, which I'm such a big fan of, is that people confuse this with traditional guardianship. There was just a story last week on CBS, I think, about guardianship. People who have listened to the show for a long time know that I am personally very active in the professional guardianship community, both as treasurer of the National Guardianship Association and past president of the Florida State Guardianship Association. This is nothing like professional guardianship. This is strictly for children in need. Am I right?
Correct, yes. We are not guardians over any children. We are the Guardian Ad Litem program, where we only speak up for children's best interest in court.
Right. And I have to think that that most guardians who are in the Guardian Ad Litem program manage to change the lives of the kids that they're involved in ways that you may not realize when you get involved in it, correct?
Absolutely.
Right. The court system has a special place in its heart for guardian ad litems, too. Am I correct about that?
I think so.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. When you talk to people who are thinking perhaps about doing this kind of thing, what are the kinds of questions you might get that are most typical that maybe I didn't ask tonight about this? Are there any that I didn't ask about tonight?
No, everybody, I think their first and foremost concern is safety, because they think that they're going in, you know, children have been abused, so are they going to be safe? I've been with the program for about 7 years. Yes. If you feel you're not safe, then you're not going into an area that you don't feel is safe, you know. When you get a case, you can map quest it. If that's not an area that you'd want to go to, or then you won't take that case. You and your child advocate manager will discuss where you want to take a case at. In all the years I've done, no one has been harmed. It is definitely, if you don't feel safe, you don't go. But you're going to have a relationship with the caregivers, the parents. You're going to know all the people involved in a case before you put yourself out there. And in the beginning, when you first go out and visit with a child, you're going to have your child advocate manager go with you or a mentor. Like I said, you're never going to be alone. And if you feel that you want someone to go with you, you'll call your child advocate manager, and that child advocate manager will go along with you for your first few visits.
Right. I mean, it's really a fascinating program. I think before I got involved in the senior population, I know I talked to you about this before the show started, it had always been my interest to get involved in children in need. I mentioned to you a story about my visiting kind of a shelter for abused kids in Texas, and it was life-altering. There are a tremendous number of kids out there. How many volunteers would you like to – how many volunteers do you need?
Our goal is for every child to have a volunteer.
Wow.
I have right now, because I'm also the volunteer recruiter, so my caseload is going down. I have 27 cases right now on myself.
Wow.
And then usually when I was full-time child advocate manager, I had over 50 cases. And even with my 27 cases, I have two or three cases that are not assigned yet to a volunteer. So volunteers are absolutely needed.
Right. Well, I hope tonight helps, because you've been a great guest. You've been a great speaker and an advocate for the advocacy program. you've done a great job. You would never know this, but this is Beth's first time on the radio, and she did a great job. And I want to thank you so much for being here. Thanks, Christy Geltz. And I want to thank my good friend who reconnected me with the Guardian Ad Litem program, Zara Brenner. I don't know if you know Zara.
That's who I was talking about tonight. For the IEP. She's amazing. Yeah. She's mine.
Yeah, that's who we're having dinner with tomorrow night. She's a good friend
that's
of mine,
so funny.
And she got us back together. So anyway, this is, of course, Scott Greenberg, Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Tonight was a way that you can get involved. This is something that you can do. And while we've been so isolated, the need hasn't shrunk. So if you have time and you have interest, please call Beth and the Guardian Ad Litem program. Get involved. Oh my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We'll see you next week. Good night, all. Have a great week.